don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Crypto Economy Quick Read. What is up, crew? Welcome back to the Crypto Economy Podcast. So section 5 is what we are getting into today. Again, if you have not listened to the previous sections of this, this will be part 6 of an ongoing piece that we are reading by Iterative Capital Management. It is a thesis on the cryptocurrency phenomenon. And today's, we're getting into the history, the incentive structure, and the workings of the whole proof of work mechanism, how consensus is achieved in the Bitcoin network. But again, this is section 5 of the thesis. So if you have not listened to the first 3 sections of the first 5 episodes of this series, this is going to be jumping right into the middle. So go back and check those out first. Now, section 5 is also the longest section of them all. Sections 6 and 7 are much shorter, and I should easily be able to sum those up in or get through those in a single episode. But I think I'm going to have to break up section 5 into 2 parts because I'm a little low on time today. I only got about maybe 2 hours to dedicate to this before I have to head out. So I doubt I'll be able to get through this whole thing. It would be another 50 or an hour, 50 minutes or an hour episode like yesterday's if I did try to tackle it all at once. So I think we're going to get through up until we start talking about specifics in the mining hardware. Outside of that, before we get started, I hope everybody has swapped out their Amazon links for my affiliate link. If you have not done that, this is your reminder. If you would like to support the show, that is the best and cheapest and easiest way to do that. You can find that on cryptoeconomy.life. Thank you for anybody who has done that and keeps me in mind when they are Christmas shopping this year. All right, with that, let's go ahead and jump right in to Section 5 of the Iterative Capital Thesis, titled Machine Consensus via Proof of Work. How does Bitcoin use a peer-to-peer network of computers to enforce the rules agreed upon by human participants? Quote, "Hardware is soft, a transient expression of ideas, and those ideas are more durable than the hardware itself." End quote. Edward Ashford Lee, 2017. In the last section, we discussed how hackers organized to create a system like Bitcoin and established that the machines in the network are used to enforce rules upon the participants. But it can also be said that the machines enforce rules upon each other, such that clever humans are frustrated when trying to change them. This section explores how computers are used to keep human participants honest. So far, we have contended that the problems being solved by Bitcoin are not abstractions, i.e. central banking or soft money, but the concrete challenges of coordinating specialized human labor outside a command and control structure. We've established that the motivations for avoiding a command and control structure are threefold. 1. To minimize the opportunity and motivation for the managers of the system to cheat or hassle the participants. 2. To attract skilled technologists to build the system without direct compensation, i.e. FOSS and open allocation. 3. To eliminate gatekeeping and allow anyone to use the system without permission. This achieves maximum growth and success of the software. Next, we'll talk about how Bitcoin accomplishes this feat of machine cooperation without losing these 3 desirable qualities. How machines agree on a shared transaction history. Recall the first section discussing Nakamoto's message in the Genesis block. About every 10 minutes, the system collates, validates, and bundles the new transactions. These bundles are called blocks. Block producers are called miners. Each block contains a hash of the data from the previous block. A hash function is a one-way algorithm that maps data of arbitrary size to an output string of bits in a fixed size, called a hash. Changing the data fed into the hash function changes the resultant hash. It is one way as it is not possible to reconstruct the data given the hash and the hash function. It follows that if a block contains a hash of the prior block, it must have been produced after the prior block existed. Since changing a block in the middle of a sequence of blocks would invalidate the hashes in all subsequent blocks, conceptually, they are chained together. Blocks can only be appended to the end of the chain. The data structure which results from creating a new block and including the hash of the prior block in a continuous manner is known as the blockchain. In a blockchain-based system, all participants validate the hash of a new block before updating the state of their ledger. How block producers are selected. We've established that all machines mining on the Bitcoin network work to bundle the transactions since the last block. If they are the first to report a new block, they have a chance at being paid a Coinbase reward, currently 12.5 Bitcoin. But since most honest miners will report the same bundle of transactions, there will be many correct blocks and only one reward winner. How does the system choose who wins, and how are clever miners prevented from winning every block? Bitcoin's consensus design selects a winner pseudo-randomly from among many potential miners by requiring the winning block to meet certain hard-to-predict characteristics. It is by requiring a certain number of prepended zeros to the block hash that the, quote, reward winner is kept random. This is what is meant when Bitcoin miners are described as playing a guessing game. The screenshot below is taken from a Blockchain Explorer, a free public service that allows anyone to see all Bitcoin transactions. Note the block hash with 18 prepended zeros, required by the difficulty factor at the time this block was mined. Figure 9. The most recent block as of the time of writing. Note the block hash, mentioned above, and block height, also known as the number of blocks since Nakamoto mined the Genesis block. Satoshi Nakamoto set as a constant a 10-minute average block time. This average is maintained by adding or subtracting the number of prepended zeros required in a valid block hash. So while the Bitcoin system has no sense of earth time, it does know when blocks are found too quickly or too slowly, and difficulty will adjust accordingly. For example, if a large amount of hash rate left the network, making block production too slow, then the number of prepended zeros required to find a block would drop, making the validation condition easier to satisfy and blocks faster to find. Unlike block 544937 above, block 0 below only has 10 prepended zeros. Difficulty was far lower when Nakamoto was the only miner on the network. Once validation criteria are met, the lucky block is propagated around the network and accepted by each full node, and it gets appended to a chain of predecessor blocks. At this time, the winning miner is also paid. Minting bitcoins for block producers. Each time a block is produced and a miner is paid, new bitcoins come into existence. The computer which finds a lucky hash is paid a reward automatically by the network in Bitcoin. This is called the Coinbase reward. Like everyone else, miners must have a public key to receive these funds. The Coinbase reward is cut in half every 210,000 blocks. an event known as a halving. Halvings make Bitcoin a deflationary currency. Eventually, the emission rate of Bitcoins will drop to zero. Only about 21 million will be created by the network. Miners are theoretically incentivized to continue mining after the reward period ends around the year 2140 because they will continue to receive transaction fees by the sender of an individual transaction. In this way, Bitcoin creates its currency through a distributed process, out of the hands of any individual person or group and requiring intensive computing and power resources. Turning energy into hashes crystallizes value. As more blocks get added to the chain, the cost of reverting a past transaction increases, and hence probability of the transactions in the block being finalized increases. Proof of work is cumulative in the sense that with more computing power on the network, it becomes more expensive to attack it, making the ledger more secure. In Bitcoin's original white paper, Section 4, Proof of Work, is written as the following. Quote, to implement a distributed timestamp server on a peer-to-peer basis, we will need to use a proof of work system. Once the CPU effort has been expended to make it satisfy the proof of work, the block cannot be changed without redoing the work. As later blocks are chained after it, the work to change the block would include redoing all of the blocks after it. End quote. Conceptually, proof of work burns energy in block issuance, which allows network participants to view immutability objectively. Proof of work reduces the entropy level within the system by consuming energy to create machine consensus around an ordered set of transactions. The cost of electricity consumption is borne collectively by miners to find order in chaos without a central coordinating agent. This is the process through which physical resources, i.e. energy, are transformed into digital resources in the form of blocks of transactions and the Coinbase rewards, which are the outcome of block production. Because these digital assets, i.e. blocks and transactions, are encoded on physical computer memory, it can be said that the proof-of-work process sublimates electricity into a physical bearer instrument, similar to the way that gold mining and minting can produce gold coins. Blocks order transactions. We have said that Bitcoin hashes groups of transactions to create a single verifiable block. We've also said that the blockchain creates a transaction history that cannot be changed without expending enormous amounts of energy. But accomplishing these two feats required some ingenuity on Nakamoto's behalf. Bitcoin users exist all over the world, and their individual transactions must travel slower than the speed of light, so latency causes nodes to receive messages at different times or out of order. In any financial system, errors in transaction logging can create disagreements between parties because balances will appear incorrect or transactions will be missing. If disagreements are constant, the system is not usable. Whether in a paper ledger or a digital database, cheaters or saboteurs who want to erroneously increase their own balance or simply wreak havoc need only to change the order of transactions, i.e. their timestamp, or delete them outright to cheat other participants. The practice of writing ledger data into a hard-to-alter physical record is at least 30,000 years old, as exemplified by the clay tablets used by the ancient Sumerians, used before the development of paper, and the more recent wooden tally sticks seen below, which were still legal tender in the United Kingdom until the 19th century. Figure 10, medieval tally sticks, notched and carved to record a debt on 32 head of sheep, owed to a local dean in Hampshire, England. Of course, keeping track of changes is no sweat for a spreadsheet on a single computer. When applications span multiple computers, networks are required to carry messages between them. Multi-computer applications deal with slow connections by using asynchronous algorithms, which are tolerant of dropped, latent, or out-of-order messages, and are not driven by a time-based schedule. In an asynchronous system, computers engage in parallel processing, but without moving forward in lockstep. Instead, messages, often user actions, trigger a change on each and every machine as it hears about the message. Nakamoto consensus is highly reliable. Bitcoin, too, is an asynchronous, event-driven system. But unlike conventional distributed systems, participants are not permissioned, meaning they have not been authenticated and authorized prior to participating. Yet somehow they all transition the state of their ledger together without a leader or any sort of coordinating mechanism beyond their own self-interest. How can self-interest be used to coordinate a group of disparate, unvetted, and possibly hostile individuals? One of the many strokes of brilliance in Bitcoin is the use of economic incentives to keep miners producing valid blocks on schedule. Miners earn rewards denominated in the unit of account for the ledger they maintain, that is, in Bitcoin. Nakamoto's conjecture was that the desire to corrupt the ledger, which threatens the coin of the realm, would be outweighed by the desires of those with a vested interest. This way, miners in a distributed system like Bitcoin can come to agreement about the order of transactions, even if some of the nodes are slow or even maliciously producing invalid blocks. This happens without the restrictive requirements of permissioned consensus. Bitcoin's system has shown its resilience in both operational uptime and integrity of the ledger. Importantly, it can accomplish this feat without needing to vet the individual nodes on the network. Machines can join or drop off at will, and the properties of the system remain the same. Industrial mining in a nutshell. Compared to launching an ICO, venture investing, or volatility trading, a mining operation is the least exposed to capital market narratives, making it the most predictable cryptocurrency investment activity. Mining profitability is driven by semiconductor cycles, energy expenditure, and the overall performance of the cryptocurrency market. While a mining investment is fundamentally a long position, it comes with a lower cost basis, so long as a miner optimizes for overhead costs and buys their machines at a fair retail price. A miner's decisions to buy hardware or support a given network are much less influenced by short-term market fashions than on the fundamental qualities of the network protocol and the technological life cycle of hardware being purchased. Considerations for miners include, but are not limited to, fundamental factors such as choosing a viable network, sourcing from the right hardware manufacturers at a fair price, timing the purchase with the hardware cycle, cost of energy and other overheads at host facility, security and staffing at host facility, liquid reward management, local regulation and tax. There are two main factors driving mining market dynamics: hash rate growth and price movement. Fundamentally, the two factors are deeply intertwined. Higher hash rate strengthens the security of the blockchain, making the network more valuable. In turn, as the price of the underlying coin increases, the demand for mining equipment grows, signifying increased competition among mining hardware vendors to capture that demand. Bitcoin hash rate has been increasing at a breathless pace, despite the spot price having been butchered year to date. Since January 2018, Bitcoin miners and traders have lived in completely separate universes, with miners reinvesting in hardware and facilities, anticipating the next cycle of price appreciation that is expected to accompany continued engineering progress at the core protocol level. Because miners control liquidity, this amounts to a self-fulfilling prophecy. An appendix discussing popular conceptions about price trends appears at the end of this paper. Figure 11. hash rate continues growing in spite of dropping Bitcoin prices. The mismatch between hash rate growth and price movement is the result of the different paces between hardware markets and capital markets. Under normal circumstances, mining difficulty can be predicted by semiconductor foundry TSMC's wafer shipments, which account for a majority of Bitcoin ASIC production. Foundry lead times are longer than the Bitcoin price cycle, meaning wafers that are already in production during a downturn in the Bitcoin price would cause capacity to overshoot. Figure 12. TSMC wafer demand may decline given unsustainable mining profits. On the other hand, due to the cumulative nature of proof-of-work, higher hash rate poured onto a network makes the system more secure and robust. A higher degree of finality means the system is more stable to support transaction volume and more robust for third-party developers to build on the system. In proof-of-work cryptocurrencies, capital markets and distributed networks are tied together by design. As Bitcoin price continuously climbed up over the past decade, mining grew into a huge industry. The first half of 2018, the largest cryptocurrency ASIC manufacturer, Bitmain, reported $2.5 billion in revenue and $1.1 billion in profit. Figure 13. Bitcoin miner revenue over time. The rise of specialized hardware. All right, guys, I think we are going to stop there for today. That we will get into the history of how we went from CPU to GPU, FPGA, and ASICs, and kind of the process and consequences of that change and shift as they happened really, really quick for anybody who was there during that time. But we're about halfway through Section 5 here, and we will come back tomorrow to conclude this half with machine consensus in the Bitcoin system. And don't forget to check out iterative.capital if you want to check out the graphics that accompany all of this stuff. And obviously they have reports and news analysis, all kinds of stuff coming out constantly at iterative.capital just on their front page. So you can check out the other stuff that they work on there. But we will be continuing, again, Section 5 tomorrow. We will close that one out, and then I should be able to hit Section 6 and 7 Thursday and Friday. So we will complete this monstrosity by the end of the week here, and we will have the entire thing in full, and then I will release it as a long read both on my website, and then we'll give Iterative Capital a copy for their website. So this will be available in audio for anybody to listen to going forward. And if you would like to support my work, again, don't forget to follow me on Twitter, Medium, Mastodon, all that great stuff. You can find all those links and more at cryptoeconomy.life. Don't forget to swap out your Amazon bookmark with my Amazon affiliate link if you'd like to support the show. You can do that entirely free of charge by just remembering to use my link when you shop on Amazon. And obviously you can donate to the show if you would like. I have my Bitcoin donation address available both on the website and in the show notes of the episodes. All right, guys, thank you for listening. We will be back at this one tomorrow, digging into the history of computing, of hashing hardware, and the balance of power in the Bitcoin system. All right, until tomorrow. This has been the Crypto Economy Podcast. Take it easy, guys.